Hey friends, let me jump in here real quick to remind you of our sponsor, 25 Transportation and Solutions. That's 25 Transportation and Solutions. They give you quality transportation, delivery services that you can depend on, getting your freight to and from its destination safe and secure. Contact them at info@25.org. That's info@TWENTY5.org, or you can call them at 240-479-6376. See you out on the road. Now, let's get back to our episode of the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. Back to let you know that I really can't let you go. I'm too close to you. Don't want no one else but you, so stay by my side, like I stay on your mind.
What time is it, Mink?
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Hey friends, welcome to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast with Diverse Love. I am Denise.
And I'm Brian.
Get your coffee or whatever your cup of joy is and settle in for some bold conversations, some random topics, a few cuss words, and a whole lot of us. Brian,
let's go.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you, everyone, again, for tuning in to the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. I am Denise, and Mr. B is out doing sidekick-ish, but you know that we are a team, and he's always a part of this platform, so he's here with me in spirit. We're so grateful to have you guys follow us again. I hope everyone had a great week. We are bringing to you another amazing, phenomenal, and great guest, and we're so excited about it. We are bringing to you all the way from Korea. From Korea is Phil the Blurred. He is a minority traveler and he is an author. He is a blogger. He's a foodie and he is also a gamer. Do I have that right, Phil, that you're a gamer?
Yeah.
So, you know, I know nothing about games, nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm reading over your bio and I read your media kit and I'm reading your blogs. And I'm like, he is a hardcore gamer and I knew nothing about what I was reading.
Yeah.
So we're so grateful to have you on here, Phil. Did I leave out anything else? Anything you want to add to that?
No, that's good.
All right, then. So Phil is coming to us to talk to us a little bit about his travels abroad, about his blog, about his book, and I think you have an upcoming one coming, but mostly about what you're doing now, how you can help bridge the gap for the minority travelers, putting more content and design around how important it is to explore abroad. So we're going to just jump right in, Phil. Thank you for reaching out to us. I apologize that it took us so long to get to you, but I have been following you, have been watching you. So thank you so much for allowing the Truth and Coffee Time podcast platform to share what you're doing abroad.
No, thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. Tell us something, Phil. Tell us something very interesting about yourself that most people may not know.
I got nothing.
Well, you know what? I always ask this question, and I think people are always like, most everybody know everything about me, but my listeners don't. So what is there something about you that people may not know?
I guess my first country I ever visited was Germany, but I was like around 6 or 7 years old, so I really don't like to count that.
Did you enjoy Germany, though? Do you remember it?
Very, very vividly, like very small amount.
Was your family military?
Yeah, the military. I think it's a military thing. Yes.
Yeah. So, do you think that's where you got your love for traveling and exploring? From the military? Like
something like that, and also like travel channels and things like that. Mm-hmm. Food, anime. I always wanted to travel as a kid, but you know, growing up in the 2000s, like 90s, early 2000s, I was a black American kid. I'd never heard of black people traveling the world or visiting other countries. If they did, it was usually because they're military, almost always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can agree with you on that. We're military.
Yeah, I would kind of give that example. Like, Like, sometimes you may have that one bougie auntie who has the money who does the traveling, but other than that, like, you just never heard of another Black person, average Black person traveling the world, going overseas. Like, that wasn't military or some work-related type.
Yeah, I agree with you. We are a military family, and so we've had the opportunity and the honor to travel to several countries, abroad. But as you state, especially me coming from the South, I never knew anyone to travel pretty much outside of my little square, where I live, unless it has something to do with a high-end job or military, and in my mind, I remember when I joined the military, the first thing that popped in my mind about joining is that I want to be able to get out and travel and get away from where I was. And I felt like that was my only escape to do that, but there was no examples around me to show me that other than the military. So, yep. So I totally agree. Totally agree. What's your favorite childhood memory? I know you said you was in Germany, but what was your favorite childhood memory that first piqued your interest about traveling? Other than just you being in Germany and being a military kid, what else kind of sunk in with you? Was like, hey, I think I want to explore.
Being a nice kid, watching anime on Toonami on Cartoon Network, like Dragon Ball Z, Naruto, all those Japanese animation shows, thinking, whoa. And, seeing all the food and stuff like that. And, of course, getting the travel channel, like, on TV, on cable. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to try this food. I want to try this. I want to go to these places.
Yeah.
But, again, same problem. Just didn't know how to do it. Like, how to get the money to do it, how to travel, what to do. Because it's never heard of it or seen it in person.
So, Phil, how did you dive into it, though? So, you're saying, I saw these things, but didn't know how to get those resources financially to actually travel other than being in the military. And there's people out there who want to travel, and they're not necessarily want to be in the military to, but they want to travel. They want to do all these things. Some people just don't know where to start. They don't know the first thing to do or the first country they should go to that won't overwhelm them so much that they won't want to travel again. So what would that advice be? From you?
Well, for me, how I got started, where I'm at now, I teach ESL, English as a second language.
Mm-hmm.
That's how most people, especially when it comes to Asia, like most people teach English for about a year or two. And that's what I've currently been doing. I've been here since May 2016,
mm-hmm.
7 years at the time of reporting. And that's how I got into it, because around my last semester of college, I'm trying to go into job fair, sending out resumes, trying to get a post-college job, just couldn't find nothing that was landing. And then I saw an ad on my university job board about teaching English in South Korea, so I looked more into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, well, let's try that.
Now, do you speak Korean, though, too, as well?
Oh, I'm just starting to study Korean because, it's learning how to read Korean is pretty easy. It's just learning how to speak it. That's what's going to take a lot more time and focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the kids that you're teaching, how old are they over there?
He's elementary level, so my main grade is like 5 and 6, so like about 11, 12, maybe 13 years old.
Mm-hmm. And do you broaden that out, Phil? Like, are there some adults over there that you help to learn the English language as well?
Something like that, yeah. I have like a little language exchange with the other teachers, Korean teachers at my school.
Mm-hmm.
That I asked one of them, who was already fluent, like, hey, can we get him to learn and speak Korean? Like, so, but yeah, so that's about it.
Yeah.
And, I also teach about, third grade, fourth grade level, like about 8, 9, 10-year-olds, I want to say.
Yeah. And are they very receptive, Phil?
They're kids, so yeah. Those kids, unless it's something exciting or fun, like games or whatnot, no. But as you know how kids are. But no, they are.
I do.
They are.
Do.
It's just more like trying to match their energy can be tiring sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I know that for a fact. I have 4 grandchildren that live with me, and I'm exhausted right now. Just trying to keep up with them. So I completely understand. So you've been teaching over there. So that, to me, that is a great segue for a person who is not interested in going in the military, don't necessarily have the money to travel, but then see that there are opportunities to actually teach in countries and go over there and you know, teach, get paid, and able to travel and explore while you're over there. So it's almost like, you know, you're gifted on both hands. You're able to teach and give back, but that teaching turns around for you to help you to travel, explore, and you get a paycheck, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I love that. So you wear many hats, Phil. So I see that you are a traveler, blogger, you're an author, you're a foodie enthusiast, and you're a gamer, and you're so much more. So how did that journey start? Because although you are a teacher, you are well into being an entrepreneur. You know, you're all the way in there. So how did that journey start?
So my content, originally it went by the Minority Traveler when it first started, but now they had like a little rebranding around like the late 2010s, towards before 2020. That's why I came up with the term Blurred Explorer, Black Nerd. Now, for me personally, I'm not trying to be like, I'm not really, I guess, an entrepreneur. I try to treat more like this travel content creation, more like as a hobby, more than like actual business. For me, I just don't like the idea. Like, I thought about becoming another Black travel influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can do it, but at the same time, I realized, you know, during COVID times, like when I had time to think, I realized that, and also doing some private work for a magazine, I thought being a full-time travel writer influencer, that won't make me happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would feel, I know some people say like, oh, do what you love and it won't feel like work, or like, you won't feel like you're working a day of your life. But to me, I was, if you want to turn a hobby into a profession or a side hustle, like full-time profession, I would say do small trial runs before you do it. Like, I would urge caution to people, say, hey, if you wanted to like quit your job, try to turn your hobby to a full-time gig, I mean, I say go for it, but be realistic, because yeah, in the beginning it may not feel like work, it feels amazing, but then it becomes a job. It's like, oh, yeah. I'm not enjoying myself. At least when it comes to my child writing or blogging and TikToks that I do, if I ever get bored or just playing it burns out or just have no ideas, I can always walk away. I can take a break as long as I want. Like, whereas if this is what like my full-time gig, my full-time profession, is like, I can't quit. I can't stop because I'll be homeless.
Right. You know, I interviewed a wonderful person a few weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, Dr. Cosette White, and she's a financial literacy person, and they call her the financial physician. But it was one thing she said, she kind of said exactly what you were saying, and she said that sometimes you kind of have to tap into different things, especially when you are heading toward that entrepreneur path, because you want to make sure that you're doing what you love and you're doing it from your heart with passion, because entrepreneur is not for the weak. That role is not, I'm here to tell you right now, that is not a job where you think you can sit back and work 4 hours a day and keep the lights on. You really have to build before you can get to that point. And so you really have to love it. And she was saying exactly what you were saying, like, try it out. Don't quit your day job. You know, try it out first. Try out a couple of things out first and see really where your heart lies before you do it. So I think that's smart. I really do.
But yeah, and the reason I kind of focus on, I guess, a Black travel, Black influencer is mostly because, and up until like the 2010s, especially the mid late 2010s, like I barely see any Black travel social media groups, Black travelers, Black travel gurus or whatnot. And then around like say, you know, mid 2010s, you've seen a lot of intake, especially African Americans traveling the world, you see Black travel groups, Black people traveling the world, which is awesome.
Yeah, because you see a lot of them now.
Nowadays, yeah, you do, which is fantastic. Have they seen more? But some of my friends ask me that is because one, when it comes to travel, especially in Asia, for example, right? Obviously, you know, foreigners, especially white people, get stared at, but people of our skin tone, of our unique hairstyle, we tend to get stand out more. We get stared at, and some Black people feel uncomfortable with that notion. And so I write my books about travel books, my travel content, because again, I want people to know, like, yes, you will get stared at because one, you're a foreigner. Two, you're going to a country where like 99% of the population looks the same everywhere you go.
Yeah.
And also, I do want to add, too, like, the whole, like, and for those that aren't aware, you know, in Asia, places like South Korea, like, colorism is pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
But that dates back centuries.
Yeah.
Like, long before, like, possibly long before Silk Road trades. Because, like, in many parts of Asia, Southeast, Central, wherever you go, East Asia, like, having darker skin tone, I mean, it's kind of like tied to like classism and beauty standards. Because a lot of people think, oh, if you're dark skinned, you're poor. You're not educated.
Right.
You're a poor rice farmer. Or like, say, for example, like if you look at various like local deities, like you probably might find stories of characters, whether the goddesses or women, heroines, they probably described as having light skin, like skin is white and snow. And that's like a centuries old ideology, belief.
Yeah. Wow. So I
had students like, you know, say, oh, teacher, she's ugly because she's dark skinned. Now, mind you, they're elementary students. They're elementary school students.
Yeah.
And at the same time, and again, they've been ingrained to believe that having dark skin is bad. And a lot of times when it comes to, like, say, teaching ESL in South Korea, most Koreans, like from the time they're young to adulthood, they probably never had a non-white English teacher.
Right, and they hadn't had that interaction. And then here you come, and not only are you teaching them English, though, Phil, this is like this opportunity that you're teaching them that their thought and their ideology is kind of off a little bit. You know what I mean? Well, a lot, actually. So you're not there just teaching English. You're teaching them about social skills and how to interact with people who do not look like them. And, you know, and you said something very, very key. My husband has said this many of times, is that in America, we get to choose to be, you know, to accept diversity and equity and inclusion. We get to choose it. And we get that choice because there's so many different people. We are a melting pot. And there's so many different people here that you get to see different colors, different, you know, cultures, different ideologies, different lifestyles. You go over to other countries, like we used to live in Italy, everyone looks alike. There is no diversity there because they look alike. And so when you introduce in something that looks different from them, sometimes people treat different bad out of fear and the unknown, you know? So you are already bridging a gap right there. It's so much bigger. Now that I hear you say that, I got chills because it is so much bigger, Phil, than you just teaching them English. It's way bigger than that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Your mission statement says, I want to show the Black community that there is travel content designed for the Black experience. Tell me more about this statement and the travel content that you're finding, you know, as you're continuing your explore.
Well, a lot of times, again, it really is due because I wanted to show other Black people who are traveling. But I guess from my content, what I do, because when you look at various travel groups, like the same Black men, Black women, how they travel, how they go, like what they do, right? Depending on what they identify as. My content is more like a general broad, like anybody can come through, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, my thing is more like anime. I also include like gaming, anime, nerdy culture too, which makes it stand out a little bit more because you don't see a lot more of that as well too.
Right, right.
Because a lot of, like, you know, might see guys like who like partying, and getting drinks, stuff like that, having a good time, which is fine, of course. But I also want to show like other sides of too. Like, for example, when it comes to South Korea, most people always want to go to Seoul or maybe Busan, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I want to show people, like, hey, Seoul's fine, but if you really want the best Korea experience, you shouldn't go to Seoul. Like, Seoul should be on your way out. If you're flying out of Incheon International Airport, then yeah, go to Seoul on your way out. Like, it's your last few days in Korea, then yeah, go on out.
Yeah, so there's more to it than just the partying and the drinking.
I want to show other people, other sides, you know, travel, things that you can do, have a good time, that without, you know, I'm not a drinker by trade. Like, that's just not my thing. I choose not to drink. But I want to show, you know, other Black culture that, hey, you can still travel. You can still have a great time, too. And yes, you see another 6'7", 2-meter dark-skinned Black brother doing his thing, too. Mm-hmm. And it's not about, you know, trying to meet women or trying to date and stuff like that. Like some of these guys be doing. Which at the same time, it's like, I got no problem with people who are looking to date in other countries because I see the appeal of that. But it's when I see, say, for example, some of these passport bros whose ultimate goal is trying to get date and marry somebody from the older culture. It's like, to me, that feels childish. Like, it feels like something you see back in high school, like middle school, immature.
Why do you think that, though? Why do you think that other men come to other countries to try and date? Because I have a thought around that because of a conversation I had with a young Black man, a random conversation I had with him. I was at a I was at a skate, I was at a Sky Zone jump place with my grandkids. There was this Black guy there, and he was there with his nephews and nieces. And I don't know how we ended up sparking a conversation, but we sparked this conversation, and he was asking me about my marriage. And I was telling him, I've been married for 33 years. We were talking about it, and he was saying that he has almost given up on the dating scene. He was a young Black man, and he said he had almost given up on the dating scene. And that he said that the women are all about social media now. Like, everything is about social media. Everything is about flossing and flexing. There is no true relationship, no true commitments, no true friendships. He stated that the words he used was that a woman will tell you in a minute in the DM, well, if you can't give me what I need, I'll just go to the next. You know, and he says that he grew up a little different, where women love to be treated like queens, and they were in the fight together. And so he decided to go to another country and explore women in another country. And he ended up dating a young lady over there. They ended up getting ready to get married. They're still together. And he said it was the best move that he ever did. So I think that there's a whole lot of different opinions around that concept. Because of social media, though. Social media ruined a lot of the rooted values that relationships are built on.
Right. That's true. And especially the one who posts about the relationships all day, every day. You tend to usually have the worst relationship, like have like the most toxic, abusive relationships. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, if I were able to get in a relationship, like, I would never post about it. No one would ever know I was in a relationship, because to me, it says, why do I need to show the world that I'm in a relationship? I love my girl, because like, I don't need to show people, you know, who I'm with all the time. Like, okay, maybe generic Christmas photo, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. But like, to like post somebody like dates of the boo and things like that, like, to me, it says like, okay, what am I doing, just because I actually care about them? Or am I just doing it just for the follow, for the likes? Mm-hmm. But to me, when I ever see guys who talk about like that, sometimes I'm in mindset. Now, I used to have that mindset same time too. Mm-hmm. When I was young too, like, you know, a couple years ago. But, you know, now I'm 32, so I get older. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes, now, in some cases, it can't be sometimes. It can't argue, like, some women are like that. But a lot of times, I'm kind of like, quote, like that quote, that BoJack Horseman. Mm-hmm. You are all the things that's wrong with you. You need to be better. Mm. Was it Todd? Yeah, from BoJack Horseman. Like, when somebody's blaming other people, sometimes it can be other people or bad experiences. But at the same time, it's like, it's you. It's always been you.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes I see guys go talking about, oh, I'm going to the Philippines or whatever to meet a woman who's more traditional, who's more submissive. And I would say sometimes it can be the woman here who could be like that. I won't deny it. And other times it could be just you. Like, you could be just a terrible person.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to fill the void, or you're desperate to get into a relationship so quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's another problem, because especially in Black culture, like, we are so ingrained, like, if you're not in a relationship, like, something's wrong with you. Like, and okay. I think sometimes,
you know, especially back in the South, you go home back in the South, nigga, girl, how old are you? You ain't got married and had no kids yet. That's the truth. That's true. Oh, yeah. don't like, when I go home, I done gained a lot of weight, and that's the first thing they go, girl, you done left here and came back big as a house. So, yep. I totally. But it's very interesting, the thoughts around that, because I'm pretty sure if I spoke with five young Black men right now, I would get five different answers around that concept, because people want relationships. You know, contrary to what people, what social media says, what any article you've read, people want good, rooted, healthy, loving relationships. They want that, and they yearn for that. We are built as a human race. We are built to have those connections, whether it be a relationship, a friendship, a situationship, or workship. That's what we were built for. That's what we were created for. And to not be able to somehow gravitate to that or get that, I can imagine that is a dark place to be sometimes. You know what I mean? So even if just a friendship, you know, like you're a gamer, and I'm sure that you game with other guys and girls, and that's a connection y'all have. That's a commonality that y'all have. And it brings a source of a positive experience in your life, you know?
Right.
So definitely. So as you're traveling abroad and you're spending so much time in different countries, Bill, tell us some of your foodie experiences. Because I've seen your blog and I've seen your media kit, and you got some beautiful pictures of food on there. And I love food. That's my favorite thing is eating. So give me some of your foodie experiences.
Well, a lot. So I live in South Korea. So you can find some great stuff here. Now, when it comes to South Korea, you can find some good stuff to eat while solo traveling, but there are going to be some dishes who are going to be awesome, you won't be able to eat, you won't be able to enjoy, because in a lot of Asian cultures, like especially in South Korea, you're supposed to share a meal, right?
Oh.
There's some dishes like jjimdak, which are my favorite. Like, you can't go to a restaurant, sit down, and order it by yourself. Like, you will have to, like, either, you know, have it delivered to your hotel or your apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody come with you. You want to go to the restaurant because it is part of the culture. Recent foodie experience, I went to the southwest area of Korea, known as the Jeolla region, provinces. So it's just one, which I believe is one of the most underrated areas of South Korea. Like, people need to go explore that area more, like southwest part of Korea.
Mm-hmm.
While I was waiting for the bus, I was in the countryside. I went to this restaurant, and it had like this, I guess, boiled beef noodle stew. I can't think of the name of it. It escapes me right now. But it was really good, especially because the meat was boiled. Like, they use a wood fire stove to boil the meat. Wood fire pot, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually pretty good.
So do you, when you have those foodie experiences, Phil, do you imagine what you're going to be writing about that, especially when you have one that's kind of amazing? Like, do you start writing about it right then, or you just kind of, I'm going to take this picture and I'm going to dot this, and this is going to be something I'll be writing about later?
Yeah, usually, yeah, the latter, typically. Especially with the career book I'm writing right now, so that's what I usually do. I'll post, like, maybe a day or two later.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I'm trying to get make the habit, like, where I know you used to post up some albums every day, but now I'm trying to, like, scale it down to maybe like once every 2 or 3 days, you know?
You know, I don't post every day. And I have a friend, like my co-author, she taught me that you can schedule your posts. They have all kind of apps out there where you can schedule. I even don't have time for that. And I try to make time to do different things like that. So a lot of times you'll see on, like, one day I might post 3 or 4 things at one time, and then 2 or 3 days go by and we don't post anything. And a lot of people say that's not good, especially for us having a podcast, that we need to post every day. But I find myself needing the help with the content to continue, you know, posting to ensure that people are engaged. But yeah, I get that. I get the whole, you know, not posting every day. Now, I want to step back. There was something you said earlier in the conversation about colorisms in part of Korea. So as a minority traveler, what are some of the comparison of treatment from country to country? Like, how have you compared that treatment of colorism to any other country that you've been to? What does that comparison look like?
Well, one, it's not so bad. I state this clearly when it comes to travel, like, everyone's going to have a different experience when it comes to any country, doesn't matter where you go. Some people are going to have a great experience, others are going to have a horrible experience. There's nothing I can do. I can't predict it. But, in terms of colorism, it does play a part when it comes to, like, say, trying to find a teaching job in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
There are some employers who just only hire white people because they're white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And now, yeah, and my beef is like, okay, if I didn't get a job because a white candidate beat me because if they had, say, a better resume, more qualifications, and then it's like, okay, whatever, move on. But if I didn't get the job because he's one of a white teacher because they're white, then it's like, okay, that's not really a good thing, because honestly, you want kids to show, because you want us to teach kids, but how can you teach? Because sometimes the best teachers you can probably find may have the qualifications or the experience or the better, you know, reviews from the...
Absolutely.
And I do believe you're doing some of those kids a disservice by not showing other cultures around the world. Like, you know, hey, there's people who come in different sizes and shapes. For example, I had a friend of mine, Jared, who's a white guy from... white Dutch guy from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
He would tell me that every time that when he tells kids that, oh, I'm from South Africa, they didn't believe him.
Wow.
Because they think, you know, oh, you think because many Korean people, especially young kids, they think, oh, it's Africa? You're poor. Everybody's poor. Everybody's black.
Mm.
But they didn't believe that a white person could be from South Africa. Or for example, a couple years ago, when I showed some videos from a YouTuber called Traveling Truth, a black YouTuber who did like Africa travel stuff, right? I showed him the nice side of Africa, like, you know, the more touristy, the more friendly, nicer side of Africa, like Senegal, Tanzania. The kids, again, these are third grade level. They're young, so they don't know anything. They didn't believe me. Like, wait, teacher, that's Africa? No, that's what. Yeah, they didn't believe me because, again, there's that notion that all Africans are poor. Everybody's got no money over there.
Because that's how media perceives it, though. And that's how they portray it to the world. They show you the most painful and hurtful side of these, you know, countries, yeah. And they tug on your heartstrings.
Now, at the time of recording this, you know, the Little Mermaid just posted, just released, right? And apparently one of my Korean friends told me how many Koreans are, like, upset by having a black mermaid. And I'm thinking, one, it's a Disney live-action movie. You should be mad about that more than anything. I haven't seen none of them, but even I know, like, they look terrible. They look so cheesy. Like, I don't really want to watch some money, those movies. And also, how are you going to be mad at a fictional creature that doesn't even exist?
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree. Now, I did go and see The Little Mermaid, and it was absolutely phenomenal. They did a great job. But it's so funny that you said what you said, because I've read some posts, especially of gamers, who have stated that they don't like to see animated movies turned into real live movies because they're just not treated the same.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, almost 30 years ago, I saw the cartoon, the animated version of The Little Mermaid. I took my kids the opening weekend. And then here we are almost 30 years later. I took my grandkids opening weekend to this version. And it almost mirrors. It walks and talks just like the cartoon version. And they actually, and I've seen some that they've just botched up, but they actually did a really good job on this one. Very good job. And I'm proud to say that they got this one. This is the closest I've seen any movie that they've remade, any animated that they've remade before. So I have a question to ask you. And this question actually didn't come from me. It came from my 10-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
She wanted me to ask you, as a minority traveler, she said, what are some of the challenges you face while exploring abroad, and how did you handle
them? My biggest experience, travel challenge, is really more to my height than anything.
How tall are you, Bill?
6'7", 2 meters tall. That's usually the biggest pain, is riding public transportation on the buses, the subway, not hitting my head on things. But in all seriousness, minority-wise, I would say, because I usually don't like to sugarcoat, I don't like to lie when it comes to travel, because I believe in honesty when it comes to traveling, like, you got to hear the good and the bad. I say, so travel. Don't be afraid to travel. Yes, there are going to be that one ignorant, xenophobic person who hates all foreigners. That's just nothing that can do about that.
Yeah.
But really, from my personal experience, I've throughout my travels, yes, I do get stared at a lot because I stand out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's really just more like curiosity, because it's not often that somebody who looks like me comes through that small town, that area that most foreigners don't go through. And most of the time, if foreigner does go through those small towns, right? The most less well-known areas, it's mostly usually a white person goes through there. So when they see a non-white person come through like me, then it's like, oh my God, like this never happened before.
Right.
Again, I'll give you like an example. Yes, like say for Koreans who work at like the international airports. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they see a black person, but do they interact? Do they talk to them on a daily basis?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of the difference. Like, I know some people say, wait, they work at the airport. They should be used to black people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they see it.
They don't interact with them.
Yeah, exactly. Because most kids, like I said before, most kids, Korean kids, if they get a black teacher, it's not common. It's not often they get one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, when we lived in Italy, I remember moving, when we moved there, my husband was there 3 months before we got there. So he had already come accustomed to some of their cultures and things that they do. So when me and my kids got there, they were staring at us like constantly, like staring. You know, Americans are like, he's mean mugging me. What is he staring at? So immediately I was getting offended. Like, why are they staring at us? You know, what is going on? And my husband had to explain to me, like, this is new to them. Not only are you foreign, but you're black, you're interacting with them, you're engaging with them. And even though they may have seen a black person before, a lot of them don't interact with them. And then here you are all bubbly and butterflying around and talking to everyone. And to them, that's something that they're staring at because they're in awe. You know, it's not nothing offensive. They don't mean to be rude about it. Like, they literally are looking at you trying to figure it all out, you know.
Yeah, well, to be fair, I'm more introverted. Like, I only put on the book sauna like when I'm at work or I'm talking to other hangout friends. Once I'm away from people, like, yep, back to the cave.
Well, I can feel that. I can feel that. Well, Phil, it's been so great, you know, talking with you. I only have a few more questions to ask. Sure. And they're normally my staples of how I end an interview. And one of them is, and I think I kind of know the answer to this question for you because you just told me you're an introvert and I live that world too. Is that how do you give back to yourself? I know that you teach the kids and you have to match that energy sometimes. You teach it.
Yeah.
Then you have an extension of adults that you teach. How do you give back to yourself? What does your self-care look like?
Typically, once 4:30 hits, so when I can leave the campus. Once I get off campus.
That's self-care. What's a typical day look like?
Well, I wake up around like 6:30 in the morning, catch the bus around 7:20, and then get to the school around 8:15. Classes start around 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Depending on the day, of course. Sometimes things could happen. I'm on campus from 8:30 till 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll catch the next bus out. And then I usually get home around 5:30 or maybe 6:30.
And your self-care begins.
Yes. Playing games, watching, listening to YouTube.
So, and then the other question I have for you, too, is that I read something on your blog that says you are a sixth Rekage in the...
That's my Smash Bros. Tag, gamer tag.
So, is that gaming? So, let me... Okay, what is it? How do you pronounce it?
Rekage. It's a reference from Naruto.
Okay, so sixth Rekage in the Korean Smash Brothers scene. And just because you said Naruto, now my son is an anime person. He looked at my grandson. So I hear them say that name all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I said I was going to ask you, what is that? What does that mean?
Oh, so in the world of Naruto, there's like village leaders. So the Rekage, he's basically the leader of like the black village.
Oh,
okay.
I love it.
So basically imagine heavyweight bodybuilt brother with cornrows, a gold hair and cornrows. Lightning powers too. So like me, when I saw that, Naruto has an entire dark skinned black village, I switch villages, I switch alliances immediately.
Like, I'm going over here, I'll see y'all later.
Pretty much.
Well, thank you. My last question is the wrap up. I keep saying last, but there might be a few more. On episode 69, so we like to ask a question from our previous podcast and from episode 69. And now that I see that I wrote this question down for you to ask, I mean, for me to ask you, I don't know if you will be able to answer it because you don't drink. But yeah. You have friends who drink. We had a young lady, Sarita Chavis, episode 69. She's a food and wine pairing guru. She is phenomenal. And she taught us so many things about tasting wine, right down to the point where, you know, if you know you're going to be drinking wine and doing tasting, don't brush your teeth because it ruins the flavor of the wine, you know. And so with you being a foodie, and I know you don't drink, though, do you have friends who drink, who do wine and food, and do they really care about the pairing of it abroad?
Don't think so. I don't think so. I could be wrong, though.
So I said, I have this question down for Phil, and now he's telling me that he don't drink. So I don't know if that question is going to fit for him.
Yeah, I really don't know. But they do drink is more like bar food. We're going out for chicken or something like that, or, you know, or like Korean barbecue. But other than that, I really don't know.
How is Korean barbecue? We have a new Korean barbecue restaurant. It's opening like 10 minutes from my house. They haven't opened yet, but they're putting all the things in place. How is Korean barbecue?
It really depends on what you pay for. Obviously, something you got your cheap options, or like you pay like for the more premium cuts of meat with the more marinated meats. Again, it really depends on where you go to.
Mm-hmm. It's really a bummer because I don't eat meat. I eat only seafood, and that's it. I don't eat chicken, pork, beef, lamb, nothing. I eat nothing but fish and just seafood. That's it. So, but I've only been like this now for the past 4 or 5 years. And so I told my husband, I said, I may have to step out my bubble and try a little piece of Korean barbecue.
Mm.
So before we wrap up, give us what your current projects are, or what's next. What's on your agenda next?
So right now, at time recording, I'm still in process of writing my next third book called The Black Traveler's Guide to South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on that. It should be out by next summer. Hopefully by next spring, next summer, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to see more about that, if you like to hear updates on that, follow my TikTok and Instagram at The Blurred Explorer. So you can find me on there to see more for that. So right now I'm taking a break from the book as well, too. So I'll go and keep working on that later.
So The Blurred Explorer, guys, The Blurred Black Nerd, because, you know, I was wondering what it meant. So I'm glad you told us, The Blurred Black Nerd. So he has a book coming out, of course, doing his travel thing, his blogging thing. So y'all look out for that. So and you said where we can find you at, The Blurred Explorer. And I think that's on all your social media, The Blurred Explorer, right, Phil?
Same. It's all same, yes.
Yep. Now, do you drink coffee?
I do, yes.
All right. So what has been your favorite coffee moment?
Honestly, just sitting in a cafe, I guess a non-trendy, well-known cafe, just sitting there, enjoying coffee while either reading a book or playing Nintendo Switch.
Now, I can tell you, when we used to live in Italy, that would be my favorite thing if we would go to, because we lived out on the economy among the Italians. So we got to really explore the Italian culture. And that would be one of my favorite things, is to go to one of them little Italian holes in the wall pubs and sit outside and drink coffee and just, you know, people watch. So I can totally connect with that. So as we wrap up, what are your parting words? Any words of advice for us who are looking to get back into traveling, especially after the pandemic and everything is kind of letting up a little bit more now? What is some of the advice you would like to share?
I would say, one, travel where you want to go to. And of course, take your time with it. Don't feel like you got rushed to go to the country. Like, I know I'm excited to travel, but take your time, because honestly, when it comes to traveling, it does cost a lot of time and money. So make sure you plan ahead. Definitely have enough money for like an emergency flight ticket back, just in case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just have a good time, really. Don't be afraid, especially if you're a BIPOC, Black traveler, dark skin traveler. Don't be afraid to go. I know you've probably seen stories like how, like, so I see it a lot of times too. Like when it comes to, like, say, Spain or Italy or France, some people say, some Black travelers said, I had a racist experience over there. I'm never going back to this country again.
Mm-hmm.
Other people will also come out and say, I personally have no problems. It's going to be like that.
Yeah, absolutely. We lived in Italy for 3 years, never had a problem, ever. Never, not one time, race, nothing, never. First week back in America, we had 3 incidents. We lived in Italy for 3 years. We're an interracial couple, never had any problem. My kids, nothing. We were back 7 days on United States soil, and we had 3 incidents. So you just never know. You know, everybody has different experiences. So thank you so much, Phil, the Blurred Explorer, for, you know, connecting with us, for reaching out to us. I've enjoyed speaking with you. This has been really cool. So thank you allowing me to connect the human side of you with what you post on social media. I think that's so important that we have diverse dialogue among each other. It's only so much you can do on DMs, text, and social media. We have to have that human connection. So this is very cool. Very cool. So thank you so much. Mr. B says thank you. He texted me and told me to shout you out and tell you thank you for coming on our platform. We really appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me on.
Thank you. And so you guys, you can find him on social media, The Blurred Explorer, Blurred as in Black Nerd, B-L-E-R-D, Explorer, TikTok, Instagram. He's a foodie blog, travel blog. He has a new book coming out soon, later on next year. So watch out for that. Thank you guys for following us. Of course, our brand is Diverse Love, and we are the host of the Truth and Coffee Time podcast. Our website is www.truthandcoffeetime.com or www.diverselove.com. And you can hit us up, leave a voicemail on our Spotify for podcasters platform, or you could just hit us up on email at hello@diverselove.com or truthandcoffeetime@gmail.com. Thank you so very much for always allowing us. I mean, we are in our episodes. We're high in the 80s now, and we didn't think we were going to make it past episode 10. So thank you guys for riding with us. Thank you guys for allowing us to share our truth. And thank you guys for allowing Phil and me to come into your home, sharing our truth over coffee.
Thank you, friends, for hanging with us. We got you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. And also, please follow us on IG, Facebook, and Twitter. Our social platform is at Diverse Love. That's DiverseLuv.
And don't forget, you can listen to our podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcast fix.
Thank you, friends. We love y'all for real.
Okay, me, take us out.
It's Truth and Coffee Time.
Help me not think about all my lows. Think of who you are sometimes. Girl, you always on my mind. Looking like it's Truth and Coffee Time. Tell me what you really want to know. Girl, it ain't.